11. I hope you brought your Bible. If you didn't, I'm going to read you the right one. Hebrews chapter 11, if you will. Hebrews chapter 11. You know, while you're turning there, I wanted to tell you the real story of Thanksgiving has been so twisted and perverted lately in our modern culture. The leftists, the communists, they've educated our children and our grandchildren that the pilgrims were bad people stealing land and all this stuff. They were not. They're taking down statues of Columbus. He was not a bad man. These people did not come to steal land. They came for religious liberty. They did not kill Indians. They made friends with the Indians. And they were great Christians. The pilgrims were great Christians. And so they left in some ships and from England on September 6, 1620. And they were headed this way, and it took a long time, a month, to get here over the ocean. And for over 2 months, they lived in that boat. Even after they got here, they lived in it a while. And they finally heard somebody say there's land there, you know. And they got out, and as they got in Massachusetts, it's late November, and they couldn't find a place. So by December 11th, just before getting off at Plymouth Rock, they signed what was called the Mayflower Compact. And that was America's first legal document that really paved the way for our Constitution about civil government and self-government. No other country had ever done that. After a prayer service, they began building little shelters, but they were unprepared. They'd never lived in a land like up north, like some of you folks came from in the wintertime. Over half of them starved to death or froze to death, but they just weren't ready for that kind of winter. And when spring came, you know, those who were left through prayer and the providence of God, they were helped by the local Indians. The local Indians had mercy on them and helped them. They didn't see them as enemies. They saw them as people seeking God. And they declared a three-day feast on December 13, 1621, to thank God and celebrate with their Indian friends. That's what they did it for. And it wasn't the first Thanksgiving ever given in America, but it was the first organized Thanksgiving. And a pilgrim named Edward Winslow described a pilgrim's Thanksgiving in these words: "Our harvest being gotten in, our governor sent 4 men on fowling or in hunting birds, so that we might, after a special manner, rejoice together after we had gathered the fruit of our labors. They 4 in one day killed as much fowl as they could, and it served the company for almost a week. Many of the Indians came, and their greatest king, Massasoit, if I can't pronounce his name, but with some 90 men, whom for 3 days we entertained and feasted. And they went out and killed 5 deer, which they brought, although it be not always so plentiful as it was at this time with us, yet by the goodness of God, we are far from want." And in 1789, George Washington declared a proclamation that Thanksgiving would be celebrated on the first day, on the first Thanksgiving, and the Protestant Episcopal Church, of which he was a member, and most people were in America at that time, announced that the first Thursday in November would become the regular day of giving thanks unless another one was set aside by the government. And then a lot of the credit going to adopting Thanksgiving goes to a woman named Mary Sarah Joseph. And she wrote books. And for 30 years, she promoted the idea of a national Thanksgiving Day. And she contacted president after president until 1863, Lincoln responded, and he set aside the last Thursday of November as the National Day of Thanksgiving. Over the next 75 years, presidents followed Lincoln's precedent, annually declaring that National Day. Then in 1941, Congress permanently established the fourth Thursday of each November as a national holiday. After World War II, the baby boomers were born and observed it faithfully until materialism took over and liberalism was taught against it. I'm here to tell you, I thank God for America. Amen. I thank God for what he brought me from. And I hope you do too. I hope you'll observe Thanksgiving this year. I hope you will observe and just stop and take time. I had a dream last night. I know I hadn't read the scriptures yet. I'm just meddling, okay? I had a dream. I don't dream very much. I had a dream early this morning about being at Mama's house for Thanksgiving. Boy, it was a good. That's the best dream I've had in a long time. All the people that were there, all the relatives and that. Mama didn't like turkey. Mama didn't like, she'd get a big hen, the biggest hen you ever seen in your life. She'd shop and shop and shop, and she'd make it just like the turkey and then do the dressing and all. And even her ex-in-laws would come eat with us. And it was such a great dream. And I thank God I was born where I was born. And I thank God. Hey, I am a thankful Christian. And I hope you are too. And I want to preach to you today out of Hebrews chapter 11, if you'll look at it. You ought to read the whole chapter, but let's read verse 1 and 2. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders, those before us, obtained a good report. Look at verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, those promises, and embraced them, those promises, and confessed that they were strangers, and look at this word, and pilgrims on the earth. Verse 16, but now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. I like that. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11 says, by faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, by faith Sarah, by faith Jacob, by faith Moses, by faith Rahab, by faith Gideon, by faith Barak, by faith Samson, by faith, David. All of these died in faith, Hebrews chapter 11 says, looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. The Bible calls them strangers on the earth. The word stranger refers to a foreigner. They didn't feel like they belonged in this old world. And they were seeking the place that God wanted them to be. The Bible refers to them as pilgrims. That refers to one that is traveling or just passing through. These people of our ancestry and our heritage were called pilgrims because they had wandered all over Europe trying to find a place that would allow them to worship Jesus Christ in spirit and in truth. Not according to a denominational hierarchy, not according to a government law, but according to the Word of God, to practice their faith in Jesus Christ. So the Europeans named them pilgrims. They didn't name themselves that. The Europeans named them pilgrims. Then you get to the New Testament church in the book of Acts. The unbelievers called the believers Christians. The Christians didn't name themselves Christians. Unbelievers called them Christians because they thought they were followers of Christ. Then you get to our day. They call us Baptists. We didn't put that name on us. They put that name on us because we believe in being saved by grace through faith alone. The Bible is the sole authority for all matters of faith and practice. We do get immersed, baptized, buried in that watery grave and risen up as a new creature in Christ. We do believe that you can keep your salvation once he gives it to you. You didn't deserve it in the first place. And he keeps it for you. We believe that. So they call us Baptists. They call them Christians. They call them pilgrims. They call them strangers and foreigners. And you know what? We as Christians ought to be pilgrims. We ought to be foreigners. We're just passing through. This world's not our home. It's a temporary dwelling place. We're not going to live here forever. We're going to live here for a while. And so today, I want to talk about Christians as being pilgrims. And we are, or we should be. I tell young people, you young people, listen to me, don't get too attached to this old world, because there's not a whole lot in it that's going to satisfy you anyway. I'm not talking about the trees and the grass and the lakes and the rivers. I'm talking about the worldly things of this world and the sinful things. Now, I thought about this, just some good characteristics. What would you look at if you wanted to recognize a pilgrim? Well, number one, John 1, verse 12 and 13 says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Verse 13, "Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Did you know that in the a Christian is a foreigner in a land called planet Earth, because we weren't born of the flesh? We were at one time, but we got born again. Now, when we were living in the flesh as everybody else, we were citizens of this place. But then we got born again, and we became strangers and pilgrims. And people don't understand us. They didn't understand the pilgrims. Why would anybody travel 2 months across stormy, cold, icy cold North Atlantic Ocean in a little old boat that now we wouldn't put on Lake Wiley and try to survive in that, to go to a country that hardly anybody had ever been to, and they said there were people over there with spears that would kill you? Why would they want to do that? Well, because they weren't looking for a country of land. They were looking for a spiritual country where they could serve the Lord in spirit and truth. Now, it's a supernatural land. Did you know that? What we're looking for, what we're headed for, is a supernatural land. It's not natural. It's above natural. It's supernatural. People ask me, they say, "Preacher, how far is heaven?" I say, it's one step. It's one heartbeat. It's one breath away. That's how far it is. Well, the Russians didn't see it in outer space, and we sent things all the way into out past our planetary system, and the satellites didn't see God. That's because that's not where God is. God's not that far away. He's in a supernatural place, and you can't see it with the natural eyes. So as a pilgrim, we're looking for a supernatural land. I like living here. I like where I live. I thank God every day that I got to be born and grow up. And y'all don't get mad at me now if you're from somewhere else, but in the South. I've been those other places. I like froze to death. And nobody would talk to me. And every time I'd look at them, they'd look the other way. And I'd say, "Hey," and they'd go, I don't know, but I thank God I was born where I was. I'm sure you do too. Wherever you were born, Detroit might used to have been a wonderful place, but now it's moved to Rock Hill. But listen to me. I'm a foreigner in it, because this is a natural land. I'm looking for a supernatural land. And then not only that, they were looking for a sweet land. You young people, look at me again. This land, this world's not sweet. And if you haven't found it out yet, you hang on. It's coming. They'll break your heart. They'll break your mind. They'll break your spirit. And they'll break you if they can. Amen. It's not sweet down here. Only if you have the Holy Spirit walking with you will you find a sweet land down here. Amen. Because he'll go along beside you. It's a superior land. I love America. Don't you get me wrong. I love America. I'm too old. But if they call tomorrow for me to go, I'll go. I love America. I'll die for them. I mean that. When I was young, I wouldn't. I was rebellious. But now, I love my country. I vote. I pay taxes. I'm not ashamed of it. Hey, if I want to change something, I ain't carrying no stinking sign and throwing rocks through windows. I'll go vote that crooked politician out and get me a good one. Amen? Amen. I better go on that one, I could tell. It's the Savior's land. It's the Savior's land. There's a land that's fairer than day. By faith we can see it afar. That's where he is. Now I know he dwells in here. Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him and sup with him and he with me." March the 5th, 1978, about 11:15, Eastside Baptist Church. I opened that door and Jesus came in. I've never been the same. A supernatural being entered me, and I was born again, a supernatural birth, and now I have a supernatural Savior that's taken me to a supernatural land that is sweet. Amen? So I'm a pilgrim. I'm not ashamed to be identified that as that. Romans 1:16, Paul said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I don't apologize for the gospel. I don't apologize for the Bible. Hey, He saved me. He changed me. He made me into a different creature. Why would I apologize for that? Amen. I'll share it with you, but I'm not going to apologize it. By faith we can see it afar. For the Savior waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. It's not my home. I'm just passing through. You can tolerate me. You can love me or you can hate me. I'm not going to be here long anyway. Amen. And so Psalm 40 verse 8 says, "I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart." Did you know that the laws of those pilgrims were the laws of a foreign land? They made that Mayflower Compact that had never been written. Nowhere had man ever governed himself. They were always governed by kings or princes or some kind of politicians. These people said, "We have one king, and that's Jesus. And we're going to serve one country, that's heaven. And so we're foreigners in this land, but we delight to do His law." Now, let me tell you something. If the law of God ever goes, or if law of man ever goes against the law of God, then I'll take God's law every time because it always works. And there's no amendments. And it can't be changed next week, no matter how many people vote it differently. Amen? I want something that lasts, don't you? I know some of you got forwards, but later on you'll get something else. But in this world, laws are different. Did you know in Australia they drive on the wrong side of the road? Did you know in England they drive on the wrong side of the road? Did you know we drive on the right side of the road? Except when y'all texting. I don't cuss, but if somebody would, while I was behind that guy texting, I'd say amen. But laws are different in different lands. Now, I'm going to obey the law of the land as long as it goes along with God's law. Now, if it doesn't go along with God's law, I'll just do what God says and let God be true and every man a liar. And if you want to put me in jail for that, that's all right. I won't be there long. If you want to put me in the grave for that, that's okay. I'm not going to be there long either. I was at Green's funeral home one time and I talked to one of the Greens. I said, "Can I rent a casket?" He said, "Why would you want to rent a casket if you're dead?" I said, "I'm not going to need it long. You can give it to somebody else. When the trumpet sounds, I'm out of here, man." But the laws are different to us than other people. Now, let me go ahead and tell you this. It's 10 minutes till 12. I got time. You can carry all the signs you want to. You can protest all you want to. But you can't change a person's heart. Only the Holy Ghost of God can do that. And you can't make unbelievers act like believers. You can't do it. It's not in them. But when you got saved, the law of God was planted in your heart. Now it delights you to do the law of God. Now you find me a church member that doesn't like to do the law of God, I say they're just a church member. They're not a pilgrim. They must not got born again because the law of God was put in. My whole mind changed that day when I got saved. I walked in one way and walked down another way. My friends thought I'd lost my mind. My family thought I'd gone religion crazy. And I'm telling you, He puts the law of God in your heart. And as a pilgrim, they came to this land not to observe the law of the Indians, but also not to observe the law of the Europeans either. They were trying to flee from that and serve God in His law. And as a pilgrim, that's the way we are. Now, sometimes we have to bite the bullet and put up with things we don't like, but we don't have to serve them. Amen? Just because you made a law don't make it right. Just because popular opinion says it doesn't make it right. Amen? Now you go on, you can make same-sex marriage, but that doesn't change God's law. You go on, you can have abortion, but that doesn't change God's law. You can make bank robbery legal if you want to, but that's not going to change God's law. It never changes. Same yesterday, today, and forever. And we don't need to update it. We just need to read it. Amen? Now, we're different. Children of God were always different. When the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9 was going down that road to Damascus to kill Christians, and the light of God fell on him on that highway, and God through Jesus Christ revealed himself to Apostle Paul. He wasn't Paul yet, he was Saul. And when God revealed himself to Paul, just like he did you and I that day we got saved, he got a new mind. And guess what? He changed roads. Go back and read it. He went from He was on the road to Damascus, and God told him, said, go down to the street called Straight. Because straight is the way. Amen? Narrow is the way that leads to life eternal. And that's why whenever somebody changed their life, we say they went straight. Y'all didn't know that, did you? That's where that came from. And Paul he got off the Damascus Road, and he got on the street called Straight, and he never was the same. And that's the way pilgrims are. We're on a different road. Don't expect the world to understand it. Don't expect your friends and family to understand it sometime. You're on the King's Highway. And they're still on that old dirt road. Amen? What you need to do is just keep on walking right, talking right, acting right. And one day, maybe by the grace of God, they'll get with you on that road. And then I thought about this. The laws are formed because ours are laws of the Lord, so that means laws of liberty. Did you know as a Christian, I don't have to do anything? That's right. Now, you have to turn to Christ and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to become a Christian. You get born again. But after you're born again, God gives you more liberty than the government ever gave you. Now, you can choose to follow his laws or you can choose not to. Now, of course, you're going to suffer the consequences. Whatever you do, you're always going to suffer the consequences. But you've got the liberty. Did you know some people, they have liberty to believe wrong? And our Constitution was written after those laws. So therefore, in our country, did you know you have the liberty to be wrong? I'd fight for that. Because that's how I got to Christ. If it wasn't those liberties, I would not have had the liberty to come to Christ. I'm going to say something that will shock you. I'd crawl in a foxhole beside a Jehovah's Witness to fight for that right. Now, I believe he's wrong. I know he's wrong according to the Scripture, but he's got the right to be wrong in this country. We can't make people go by what we believe. We can show them and guide them and encourage them. But in this country, thank God, people have the liberty, because our laws are written after God's laws, we have the liberty to do and believe whatever we want to. That's a Baptist tenet. That's a Baptist doctrine. We have the freedom. We're our own priest. We don't need a priest. We can go to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't need a high priest. You don't even need a preacher to pray for you, or a pastor, or a deacon, though we will. Or you can go directly to the throne of God. You have the liberty to do that. So. Now, I can tell some, I lost some of you on that, but maybe you'll catch on. My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty. Yes. To thee, but I sing about heaven. We sing, I'll fly away. Now, that's my home. I'll fly away. And not even going to need an airplane. Amen? I'm going to fly away. Now, God's laws are laws of love. Now, I used to think before I got saved, God had this big old baseball bat, and he was sitting on this throne and watching, just waiting to knock me over the head. That's what I thought. When we was raised, people called us white trash and everything else. We didn't go to church. Christians wouldn't have much to do with us. The ones that did wasn't good ones usually. And so therefore I had no example of God is love. I didn't know the laws of God are laws of love. I thought they were laws of hate. He wanted to send people to hell. He wanted to punish people. Now that's heathen doctrine. That's not Bible doctrine. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, that's you, everybody, that he gave. He loved you so much he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So the laws of God are love. I don't ever look at people and say, if you don't quit that, you're going to die and go to hell. No, they're probably already headed to hell. That's why they're doing that. Yeah. See, they've never been set free. When you get born again, he sets you free. You don't have to live like that anymore. I used to have to live like that. I couldn't control it. But now I have choices because he loves me. He gives me choices. It's law of love. And the law is a love for others too. Did you know that the Christian law, the pilgrim law, is that we don't just love one another, but we love everybody? Jesus said you ought to love your neighbor as yourself. Did you know if you love your neighbor, you ain't going to steal his lawnmower? It counts out stealing, don't it? You ain't going to take his pig. Jerry Clower said he knew this man, said he used to hang around with him, you know. And Marcel Ledbetter, some of y'all might know him. He lives over here in Clover, I'm sure. And he said he went to Marcel's house one day and said, Marcel, if you had a pig, would you give it to me? No, I'm going backwards. He said, if you had 10 pigs, would you give me one? He said, Jerry, I love you. I'll give you anything I got. You know I'd give you one of them pigs. He said, Marcel, if you had 5, would you give me one? He said, Brother Jerry, you know I love you. Anything I got is yours. I'd give you one of them pigs. He said, Marcel, if you had 1, would you give me one? He said, now, Jerry, you know I got 1. But it's a law of love. We love people. You know, I don't hate anybody. I can't find it in me. Now, I used to before I was saved. Oh, man, where I grew up, it was dangerous if somebody hated you. Amen? That's why I don't let the choir stay up here behind me. When I go to a restaurant, I still sit back to the wall. That's why I grew up. Amen? Somebody hit you in the head. I remember I used to take around with this one old boy, and he'd take me places, whatnot, go, and he walked this place one night that was famous for fighting. And he said, hey, everybody. This man right here said, whoop the meanest one in here. Not my friend. I said, no. But it's law of love. We don't just love one another. We love everybody. Did you know I can love you and disagree with you? Because I'm a pilgrim. I'm not going to be here long anyway. And you go on and mess up this world if you want to, but this world's not my home. I wish we'd make it better, but I'm not staying here anyway. I can still love you, though. You make a mess out of things. I don't hate anybody. I'm not carrying a sign. I'm going to try to love you to death. And then, did you know that we have a different language? Uh-oh. And the Gileadites took, it says in Judges 12:5-6, and the Gileadites took the passages of Jordan before the Ephraimites. And it was so that when those Ephraimites, which were escaped, said, let me go over, that the men of Gilead said unto him, art thou an Ephraimite? He said, nay. Then said they unto him, say now, Shibboleth, and I can't even say it, Shibboleth. And he said, Shibboleth, for he could not frame to pronounce it right. Then they took him and slew him at the passages of Jordan. Now, you know what this proves? God's people are different from the world's people. And they said, they didn't tell them, but they had escaped persecution. They were running away. They wanted to go through this land. And the fellas came out and said, y'all don't look like y'all belong here. And they, oh, yeah. No, you're some of them other people. No. He said, okay, prove it. Say this. And they couldn't pronounce it. It's kind of like people from the frozen north coming down here wanting us to talk like them. We can't do it. I just can't do it. I'm sorry. I can't. I try. Yeah. I mean, we say shacking up, and they say cohabitating. I'm sorry, I messed that one up, cohabitating. We say liquor, they say liqueur. There's a lot of other things they say that we don't want to say. But you can tell the difference when people become pilgrims of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? We even talk different. Boy, my vocabulary changed. It was 2 weeks before I knew I'd quit cussing. And somebody at the industrial mill looked at me and said, hippie, what's done happened to you? I said, what do you mean? He said, I ain't heard you cuss in 2 weeks. I said, oh. And I knew no verse. I knew no scripture. I just got saved. So I said, well, I can't explain it, but I went down here to Eastside Baptist Church at 11:15 the other week. I asked the Lord to save me, and this is how I came out. Amen. The pilgrim's whole life was different from the people they were about to live amongst. Yes. And our lives are different than the people we have to live among. It's different. They call one thing an alternative lifestyle. we call it abomination unto God. They call one thing alcoholic, we call it drunkard. They call straight natural, we call it, they call straight unnatural, we call it natural. They call gay natural, we call it unnatural. Now, I don't care what you call it. As a child of God, we don't see things the way everybody else sees. But let me tell you something, that doesn't make us bad people. Because you agree with God and not with the world, that just makes you identify with the people who are passing through. Now, when they got to America, the Indian called a spear one thing, which I surely couldn't pronounce, and the pilgrim called it something else, you know. The Indian would call a deer one thing, and the pilgrim would call it something else. But they never insisted that the Indian take up their vocabulary, because the pilgrim figured, well, we're not going to be living here any long, much longer anyway, we're just going to pass through. And it's the same way in our world. We can't drive people to live like us and to talk like us and to act like us. If it's in them, y'all listen to me, if it's in them, it will come out. Jesus said, the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's in there is going to come out right there. Now, you can tell me anything you want to. And when you tell that guy on your resume to call me for a reference, this is what I'm going to tell him. They look good on Sunday. They act real good on Sunday. They talk real good on Sunday. But I have no idea who these people are. And the ones I'm sorry I do. You know. But the point being, look, we look different. We're foreigners. I went up north, went to Chicago. I went to Hammond, Indiana, pastor school 4 times. And third time, I can't remember, we were 30 miles from Chicago. I said, I want to go see Chicago. So me and Terry McAteer, a friend of mine, we got in the car and drove up to the south side of Chicago. I said, I want to see the Great Lakes. So we went out to the Great Lakes and we drove. It was April. It was the third week of April, I think. We pulled that little car up there and we got out. I had on long johns. Y'all know what that is, don't you? Underwear. Okay. I had on long underwear. And I had on a suit like this, a winter suit. And I had on what we call an all-weather coat with a lining in it that you can zip out. I stood in front of that lake, and I liked the froze to death. The wind coming off that thing went through everything I wore. And I asked Brother Terry, why is that like that? These people don't look like they're cold as I am. He said, they have different clothes. Their clothes are warmer than what we have down south. And then I looked out there at the water, and there were waves about like that, frozen, just like that, about that high. I said, Brother Terry, how does a wave freeze? He said, it happened real fast. I hate the way it happens, but he said, it happened real fast. And there's a little homeless lady out there pushing a buggy, and there's a little Latino guy out there. He was trying to fish through the ice, and I looked at him. I said, why do these people stay here? He said, and Brother Terry McTier was a brilliant, articulate man. He said this, they ain't never been to South Carolina, brother. But we were strange. I'd go into restaurants. I've been to Iowa the same way. Going to restaurants, I didn't recognize the food. When I would ask for what I wanted, they'd laugh at me. In Chicago, they had an all-American breakfast. You know, you had these platters, and it said all-American breakfast, red, white, and blue. And it had grits and eggs and ham and bacon. And the lady came out. I said, y'all said this is all-American breakfast. She said, yep. I said, there ain't no grits on it. She said, grits? Grits? In Chicago, you want grits? I said, I just came through Iowa. There's 30,000 miles of corn out there. What do you make out of that liquor? She said, probably. She said, let me go talk to the chef. So she went through those little doors. I was sitting right there. She said, I didn't hear her, but I heard him. He said, grits! Ain't got no grits! Get out of here! She come out there and she said, I said, I heard him. And I took my ink pen and I wrote over that All-American. I wrote Yankee. I know that's funny, but you know what? When Christians look at us, and I mean when the world looks at us Christians and they talk to us and they observe us, you know, they look at us and they say, that's a strange dude, that man. She's different. You remember when you was growing up, some of you older ones, people used to say, I can't do that, I'm living right. Others would say, I don't do that. I'm trying to live for the Lord. Y'all remember when you used to hear that?
Yes.
When was the last time you heard that? We're different. We talk different. We ought to look different. Dress different. Behave different. All of that, not because we have to, but because of who we are. Amen. It's now in us to be that way. I remember growing up, I had four brothers, four sisters. I had four brothers. And when I was a teenager, I got arrested. They came to the house. They put me in the back of that car. And that cop was so proud to say this. He said, we knew it would happen. We got the last of you Ronnie boys. You're the last one. We ain't never locked up. And that stuck with me for the rest of my life. That was our reputation. I spent one night in jail and never went back. Didn't say I didn't deserve it, but I never went back. I avoided it better. But that was our testimony, you Ronnie boys. I remember the police coming to the house more than once. But then I got saved. When I got saved in 1978, Billy's uncle worked with the best man at my wedding. My best friend was the best man at my wedding. And I got saved at 23 years old. And Billy's uncle went back and asked my best friend, said, what do you think about old, back then they called me Ronnie, I think I outgrew that. What do you think about old Ronnie getting saved? Here's what he said. He's a hypocrite. He said, why would you say that? And he told Billy's uncle, nobody can change that much. And I said, you go back and tell him he's right. I didn't change that much. He changed me that much. We look different. We have a glowing look. You ever looked at somebody and said, I bet that's a Christian right there. I had a woman in Hammond, Indiana, walk up to me at Walmart. I was lonely. I went to pastor school, and I was lonely. I wanted to see some rednecks. Cross street was Walmart. Don't matter where it's at. They're all the same. And I walked there, and I went to buy some stuff, and this lady walked up to me. She said, you're a preacher, aren't you? I said, yeah, how could you tell? She said, there's just something you glow. I said, well, thank you. I walked up to the cash register. I checked out and looked at that little girl. I told her what I was doing, where I was staying, all that. It wasn't church, so I didn't invite her to church. But I said, you know why I came here tonight? She said, why? I said, I was lonely, and I figured if I went to Walmart, I could find some people just like me. But wherever we are, we ought to glow. We ought to grow. We ought to groan. How about this? And I'll quit. We ought to groan. Romans 8:23 says we're groaning. We're groaning for that city. We're groaning deep down inside. We can't wait to go to heaven. Death does not scare us. Hey, oh death, where is thy victory? Where's the sting of death? It's been taken out by Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And inside of me, there's a groaning that knows there's a better city than this one. And we're like Abraham and Enoch and all of those. We're traveling through this old world, but we're not at home, and we'll never feel at home anymore. We're strangers and we're pilgrims in a foreign land, and they'll never understand us, and we can't make them be like us. All we can do is live it and walk it and talk it, and they'll see Christ in us, the hope of glory, and they'll ask us what our secret is. This is the age where Christians are ashamed of being Christians. Don't be ashamed. The pilgrims weren't ashamed. You're just a pilgrim. Hey, what you'll do is thank God they recognize you are one. In 484, don't turn there, but I'm going to read you just on Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. I am bound for the promised land. I'm bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. Last verse says, when shall I reach that happy place and be forever blessed? When shall I see my Father's face and in His bosom rest? I'm bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. How about you? Are you a pilgrim? Are you a foreigner? Are you a stranger? Where are you headed? What's your final destination? Would anybody that knows you, would they want to go with you?